Joker goes to Phu Bai in Vietnam and asks for his unit. Talks to the NCO, and he said, well, where are you going? I want to go to Hotel Company, 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines. That was my company. That was my unit. The very day I was there, it was about this many people, 120 Marines, and I was a machine gunner with Hotel 25. I ran the M60. Hoorah! Well, people ask me, how authentic was that movie? Well, in many respects, it was very authentic. Because first of all, one of my friends said, did you really charge the enemy like that? Well, we wouldn't charge 15 of them like that. But for a sniper, what we had to do with snipers, that was not one battle. That has sometimes happened, you know, every other week. Snipers were lethal. And what we had to do is we did charge them with the M60 and get their heads down, suppressed with fire. They got their heads down, and then the infantry went around, the grunts went around and killed them, which is what happened in the movie. People ask me about the sniper. That person, yes, yes, that was often the case. Now, you can't run full blast with an M60 machine gun. That's what was done in the movie. You can't do it full blast, it's a controlled movement, the way a lot of you perfected that in Iraq, particularly. But you can go very fast, and we went very fast. One other difference is, we always had to have an ammo humper. You can't wrap the ammo around your arm and fire it. And the M60 is a light machine gun. We didn't have a tripod. Tripod up, would be dead by then. Most of the stuff we did was in a space about this big. So it's very versatile, dependable, and it was very, very effective. So in those respects, it was authentic, but you always had to have the ammo humper who was in the suicide seat. The ammo humper ran alongside the machine gunner, not looking at the battle, with his weapon shouldered, and he's running alongside. Clip, 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 and he's clipping up the belts off our shoulders to keep that machine gun going. And that's kind of the way it was. Now, I see a lot of you are riding side saddle on these chairs. I'm a trial lawyer. I did that for many years. I'm still a trial lawyer. I'm always a Marine. I'm always a trial lawyer. So I want to be sure the jury is comfortable. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to stand up, and instead of rubbernecking and getting a sore back, stand up and turn that chair around so you can look up here and not sit side saddle. So go ahead and stand up. There you go. Reach up in the air like this. There you go. All right. All right. That's better. That's better. Well, I was a very, very lazy teenager. I never went to class. I cheated my way through school. I spent a lot of time. That's what they said at Paris Island last week when I was there. They all cheered that. I'll tell you, but a lot of us are that way. I was lazy. I was sloppy. And, you know, I didn't really understand. What's the big deal? I mean, algebra, who's ever going to use that, right? And all this stuff. I saw no practical purpose in the stuff I was studying. I was bored most of the time. All I wanted to do was water ski and date girls, and I wasn't any good at either one of those. But anyway, I did get into college. I got into college my freshman year. I got into Ohio University, where, coincidentally, my father had attended. He'd been student body president. He met my mom there, who grew up there. Her father was a professor, and 17 of my relatives successfully went to Ohio University. And I thought it was really unusual. I thought, isn't this unusual? You know what they expected at that school of me? They expected me to go to class. I mean, I never wanted to go to class. I mean, I drank beer, I watched TV, I slept through my classes, and they sent me an inevitable letter telling me never to return. I flunked out of college. I was 19 years old. I hated to be told what to do. I didn't like rules, and I didn't like to get up early in the morning. So what do you think I did? I joined the Marine Corps. Anybody identify with that? Yeah. Oh, man. And I went through San Diego, and the mountains about killed my knees, the hills. But I take the hills over the fleas that ate you in Paris Island. But anyway, the Marine Corps was great. I learned a lot, but I was a lousy student. But these drill instructors had not 13, not 12, but 8 weeks to whip us in shape. And they did that the best they could, and they sent us to Vietnam. Now, once in Vietnam, I was trained as an infantry machine gunner, and in Vietnam I joined Hotel 25, which is on a video, and at Hotel 25 there was one individual that everybody was afraid of. And they loved him, a great machine gunner. His name was Ralph Crosley. He was the best. He piled up the enemy. He was fearless. Our own people were scared of him sometimes. He was just fierce. And there's one thing I knew, I didn't want to be Ralph Crosley's A gunner or ammo humper, because I knew he had the most difficult duty. And I figured I'd get killed, because I'm, again, unarmed as an ammo humper. I'm just handing ammunition, feeding the machine gun. And I figured if I don't make it, I don't want to be with him. But if you make it through that role, then you get to be the machine gunner. Well, I get to the hooch, Hotel 25, okay, down, okay, Crosley, you, raw meat, you're his. Ah, that's him. That's the guy I've been hearing about. I'm his ammo humper. I'm gonna get killed. So I go over there. He did something that was amazing. He stopped what he was doing, the baddest dude. He stopped what he was doing, and he turned, and he looked at me, and he gave me full eyes, not side eyes, full attention. He showed me honor the first minute I met him. I learned the core values from a lance corporal, and that's how best they're taught. They're taught from you, top down, of course. Lieutenant Colonelism, the colonelism. But you are the ones that teach it best by your conduct. Well, he then put down his machine gun parts. He gave me his full attention. And he started to ask me questions. Where are you from? This and that, so forth. You know, what do you want us to send home? What do you want to be sure that we send home to your mom out of your sea bag if you get yourself shot over here? And what's in your sea bag you don't want us to send back to your mom? He built trust. This outfit runs on core values undergirded with what? This outfit runs on the core values undergirded with trust. We can trust our fellow Marines. The man or woman next to us will fight with us, will stand with us. And that's the difference. That's why we're Marines. Well, imagine taking a lazy flunk out like me, making me into a machine gunner and shipping me to Vietnam. Well, I was well trained. I did very well in boot camp. I worked hard. I turned over some new leaves. I got there, but Crosley's talking to me like he's my brother. And we were so different. He was from Detroit. I was from Dallas. He was Detroit Lions. I was Dallas Cowboys. Not this year. He was chicken. I was beef. He was Motown. I was Beach Boys. He was black. I was white. He was the best. I was just a boot. He was fearless. I was just scared. And this guy fathered me. He cared about me. I couldn't believe it. And he said, we're going to get out of this war together. You're valuable to me. Welcome. I'm glad to see you. They didn't tell me that in boot camp. We're going to be best friends. You're going to be a great leader. He called core values out of me before he knew I could do anything. He called leadership principles out of me before he even knew anything about me, really. And that's the principle in the Marine Corps. We treat people the way we want them to conduct themselves. We assume honor, courage, and commitment. We assume trust. And that's the value of the Corps. Well, for an old flunk out kid like me, it was wonderful to have somebody cared about me so much. And on the first time we're out about 3 weeks later on going up the side of a hill, and Crosley's on the gun, and there's 13 of us going up the side of a hill, and of all things down the trail we just came off, here comes a whole column of the enemy with uniforms of kind of, and they were carrying heavy mortars to begin in a few months the attack on Da Nang during the Tet Offensives. Who's ever heard of the Tet Offensives? And here they come. And Crosley said he saw them first. He's a lion dog. I saw them first. There they are. And Crosley just full metal jacket. Pop, 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 pop. He's heading down the hill. Now, you got to get off the crest of the hill. And we had position on him. We had firepower. We had the element of what? Surprise. And we're knocking him down. Things are going great. I'm feeding the belt. And suddenly, well, you know, things are going to be great. Tonight's great. You're going to get fed tonight. You're with somebody special tonight. But you don't know about tomorrow. Speaking at the commander's course, new lieutenant colonels, and master sergeant majors, I made this comment, I'll say the same thing to you. Everybody in here is wondering one thing. You've done well to get here. Look at you. Rank, position, respect. You've done well to get here. But everybody's thinking about one thing. How am I going to do in the next fight? How am I going to do in the next fight? And there's going to be a next fight. Your family, your finances, your core, your unit, your marriage, your kids. There's going to be the next. How are you going to do? Because people do not remember so much when you've done things well. What they remember is the way you react when your life jams. That's what they remember. And the machine gun jammed. The machine gun's down. And you know those nice weapons these guys walked into? How about that color guard? Give him a rib, baby. Give him a new raw. And what about the band? Woo, hurrah. So they walked in, they're carrying weapons. Those are real weapons. It's made of iron and steel. That's an M14. I qualified with that. Steel sights. Scopes. Only the doctor had a scope, a stethoscope. I don't know what a scope was. And we qualified that sucker. It's a great weapon. And in Okinawa, they gave us a surprise. They introduced us to a tinker toy made of aluminum and plastic. We had a name for it, which I will leave out tonight in my presentation. And they gave us 6 hours of familiarization with that in Okinawa on the way to war. They gave us a new vehicle to run the 500-mile race. Unbelievable. So, pop, 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 the enemy is right on top. Pop, 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 we're knocking them down. The machine gun jammed and three of our M16s jammed. And then the other guys on automatic with the M16s really hadn't read the manual. They're out of ammo. That thing is so fast. There's no reason to put four holes in one guy. They're out of ammo. No suppressive fire. Suddenly the air is full, filled with lead coming in. Crack, 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 crack. I remember thinking. I remember what it looked like when they came in. I remember what it looked like when it was going out. Knocking them down. But I have no recollection of what it looked like right here. Because I had one thing I needed to do. And that was take care of that machine gunner. I said to myself, I don't care if I get myself shot, but I'm going to take care of that man who showed me honor, respect, courage, commitment. And I helped him clear that machine gun. He's on one knee. You can't clear a machine gun laying on your belly. He's on one knee. A fire coming in. We got the machine gun rolling again. Pop, 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 pop. I think they thought there were 500 of them. So pop, 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 pop. We ran a whole five or six belts through it, went to the top of the hill. And all of us came back in one piece. Hurrah! Well, we went on for many more battles. One of them was Operation Essex. That's when they found us first. We actually, by the after-action reports, very accurate, they killed 16, wounded 21, 30%. My best friend, one of my best friends on my machine gun, was killed in my place carrying my machine gun. We fought through the night. And our lieutenant colonel came in. And I learned something from our lieutenant colonel that's marked my life everywhere I've been. Everywhere I've been. I've had great officers. I've had great fellow enlisted men and now women. I have tremendous officers. Well, this officer came in. Now, he was the one that planned the battle. He got the information. It was a lie. It was a setup. It was an ambush. But he believed it. And he sent us into the mouth of an ambush. And he couldn't get us out. The helicopters came in. They got shot up. They peeled off, were there with our dead and wounded, couldn't get them out all night long. We fought all night long. He sent Golf Company in. So Golf Company came in to reinforce us. They got pinned down. And so here's McNaughton the next day. He's running from the helicopter right past my position, the gun position. McNaughton gets in a hole. He says, okay, you're done, Captain. Get on the helicopter. You're in charge. Get out of here, Captain. We got dead Marines. He didn't do that. He did something that sparked my life. Honor, courage, and commitment. Say it with me. He got in a hole, and he stood up, straightened up with a few sniper rounds. That wasn't real smart. And he just kind of took a breath. And he tugged on his blouse like that. He said, good morning, Captain. I'm thinking, good morning? Dead Marines, dead buddies, my friends. What do you mean, good? Then he said this, Captain, I want to thank you for holding the line last night. He thanked us. My captain there for us. We fought our heads off all week, all night. He thanked us. I'll never forget that. And then he said, Captain, can you show me what happened? So we showed him. We did this, he did this, we followed the plan. It was their plan. We worked their plan. It was an ambush. And I saw integrity. I saw honor. He honored me. He honored us. He honored himself. And he owned the battle. He owned the plan that he created. He owned the men that didn't make it. And he got back on that helicopter. Oh, my. I left Vietnam and came home, and I couldn't get into a four-year college. I went to a two-year college and worked hard. I was really humiliated. I couldn't get into a four-year college. It was great. I was a lousy student. I got the lowest score anybody in here got on the English SAT scores. I had a guy challenge that. He said I was drunk the night before, and I didn't sleep a wink, and I guessed. He beat me by quite a bit. So, I worked hard. I mean, that first time, that first class, the professor came out and says, Mr. Dooner here, Mr. Dooner here. It's Downer. Yeah, Mr. Dooner, come on. It's Downer. Mr. Dooner, come on up here. In Vietnam, they call me Animal Mother, they call me Gun Downer. Downer, come on up here. He said, you got the highest grade ever given on this test. You got a perfect paper. And everybody clapped. After class, they wanted to know, how'd you do that? We heard you didn't sleep much. No. You didn't eat much. We got the assignment on Tuesday, took it on Thursday, got the highest grade. How'd you do that? Oh, it was just kind of BIC. What's that? I'll clean this up a little bit. That's just bottom in the chair. I just put myself in the chair. I did what you did. See, what you do saved my life. You got us what we needed when we needed it. We can't do what we did. We couldn't possibly do what we did if you didn't have the convoys, you didn't load the C-130s, you didn't risk your life to go do what you did and what you do every day. We couldn't do it. And I learned how to do things like that. I made straight A's from there, went to SMU. They said, we thought you were a transfer student. Your scores were so low in English, we thought English was a second language. I worked really hard. It was at SMU. I made straight A's. Now, at SMU, I went to an economics class. I was the first guy there. And in the second row, the packed house. The house was packed. Except in the second row, there's one empty chair right in the middle of the whole place. One chair. And I'm standing looking, and the professor goes, can't read a speech. And here comes this girl. Boy, from 50 feet, she was gorgeous. I thought, oh, my goodness. Wow! Can I get an ooh-rah on that? What kind of a man to take to marry a girl like that? I couldn't believe it. She was really cool. Woo! I looked at her. I was not into a long-term relationship at that point. I had a new car, new clothes, money. I was in kind of, so what's your name again, you know? I'm not proud of that. And so here she comes. You'd sit in the back. You'd sit on the side. And the professor's ready to go. Stand right like that, ready to go. And she comes all the way to the front, and walk, and she's not military. Her hands are not able to fight. She's all occupied. Got her lunch on this side, her books on this side, and all this junk. She's carrying all this stuff. She's like this, and she goes down that row and bangs everybody's head, elbows all the way down, boom, 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 and took that seat right in the second row in the front. I thought to myself, whoo! Arrogant? I don't think so. Privileged? I don't think so. She was confident. She was a confident beauty. Wow. I got her number. We went out that night, the next week, and she got me in a parking lot, and she wrapped her arms around me, and she kissed me till my lips fell off. Woo! Can I get a new raw on that? Ooh, oh, my goodness. We got married. Oh, my goodness. We both went to law school. We graduated from college together, graduated from law school together. I became a lawyer. I went with two terrific lawyers. I was their first guy, and they gave me everything they didn't want to do, you know. And I learned the Marine Corps. Excellence, honor, courage, and commitment. I worked hard, and whatever it was, I worked my head. I did the best I could in everything. Little cases became big cases. Little projects became big things. And I talked to all the people. I got to know them. And I remember I became a senior partner, and I remember one day a big case came in. And I couldn't handle it, and I gave it to the younger lawyers, and they lost the case. I mean, they lost this case big time. And I was livid. And no bonuses. Everybody was mad. They lost the case. And I didn't handle it. My partner's going, why didn't you? Well, I couldn't. I had too many other cases. So I go in to what they thought was going to be a chewing out. And they're all sitting there real nervous. And I walked in. This is decades later. I walked in, tugged on my coat like McNaughton did, and just took a breath. And I said, good afternoon. I want to thank you for working so hard on this case. Now just show me what happened. They showed me all the things they could have done differently, and they mentioned everything I would have mentioned more. And I said, great, we'll carry on. You think they wanted to go and be on my trial team after that? You bet your life they did. They did. And I became a senior partner. I worked hard. I learned how to run teams here. At a Christmas party one time, the younger partners, and there's 60 lawyers now, five offices. I'm number three. There are four corners in our office. I had one of the corner offices. Kind of gives you an idea of what I'm talking about. And one time, one of the fellas said, hey, tell me, Mr. Downer, call me Phil. Mr. Downer, I call me Mr. Downer, okay. He said, he was really, and I was old, I was probably 35 at that point, 38, I was old. Anyway, he said, we want to know something. Where'd you learn all this leadership stuff? And you build teams. On your teams are all different kinds of people. Look at this room, all different kinds of people. And then you have women on your teams. And you're working to death, but they love you. You stand with them, you help them, you care about them. Where did you learn all that leadership stuff? I said, well, I learned that. Did you learn that at Emory Law School? No, not there. How about SMU Business School? No, I didn't learn it there. Well, where'd you learn it? Oh, I learned it in the Marine Corps. Really? We didn't know you had such an extensive career in the Marine Corps. It's very extensive. Yeah, I played ball at the academy and I did 22. Whoa. You played ball at the Naval Academy? I love telling my academy friends this. You played ball at the Naval Academy? No, not that academy. Oh, yeah, we say, did we beat Army that year? No, not that academy. It was called Cheshire Academy in Cheshire, Connecticut. I played eighth grade six-man football at Cheshire Academy. I learned how to steal and how to fight at the academy. And I didn't do 22 years with men like you and women like you. I did 22 months with people like you, and I was never the same. I learned how to build teams. I learned how to stick together. I learned how to fight. I led the charge. I learned how to lead. I learned how to work through hard things. I'd be sitting there in a foxhole, fighting hole. We'd be digging in at night, every night out in the field. I had leeches sucking blood out of my legs. I couldn't light a match and burn them off with a cigarette. I couldn't pull them off and take skin. I had crotch rot, immersion foot. Snakes, rats eating the bodies. I love the snakes. Mosquitoes, sunburn, the enemy. I had to be what? Honor, courage, and commitment. I learned to do that in trial. They said, you're fearless. You don't quit. We've seen you go all day, all night. You don't quit. Well, why would I quit? We haven't won yet. trial works kind of like Vietnam. You know, kill, you know, except we use words instead of bullets. It was great for a machine gunner. Let me ask you, sir, ma'am, is there somebody close enough to you that knows when your life goes off safe? See, I had somebody like that. Downer, I know it's tough out there. You got fired. Your wife's mad at you. I'm coming up there. I'm going to drag yourself out of that house. I'm going to beat on you. What's going on? I had somebody looking out for me. He's my best friend. I saw him three months ago. Best man at my wedding. How many of you in this room made best friends in the Marine Corps? Raise your hand. Don't lose them. They're unique. He stuck with me. I stuck with him. And do you know anybody close to you? You're close enough to understand their pain. And when they go through something, you'd be able to say, hey, don't do that. And then have enough respect and trust in you not to do it, to take your advice. A lot of things happen in a split second of emotion. They all look back and say, I wish I hadn't done that. The prisons are full of people. Hospitals are full of people. Say, I wish I hadn't done that. See, the Marine Corps gave me friends, colleagues, gave me competency, gave me incredible self-control, diligence. I went from a flunk out to a senior partner of, now I got 15 kids, 15 grandkids and 6 kids, 4 married, they're all glad to see me. That's not about me, that's about honor, courage, and commitment. See, you write down everything people expect of you, all the things people expect of you, your future employer, your kids, your 2-year-old, you know what your 2-year-old expects from you when they've got projectile vomit and your wife or husband's in the bathroom hugging onto the porcelain? Well, perfection. No, they don't expect perfection. My wife, I say, you expect perfection from me. They don't expect perfection. They expect a whole bunch of things. You can put them all together in 3 categories: honor, courage, and commitment. So learn well here, and when you go, wherever you go from here, it'll take you so well. It'll take you so well. I destroyed my marriage along the way. I didn't take my core values home. I realized I hadn't done that. She was about to divorce me. I went back to the core values of honor, courage, and commitment. I wrote on my hand. I wrote on the visor of my car. I wrote everywhere. She said, "You're different. You're different. What's different?" Honor, courage, and commitment. And she relented. And we've been now married 54 years. And from here I go to Edson Range, and Saturday night, Sunday morning, and I go home Sunday night. You know what's going to happen Sunday night? She's going to wrap her arms around my head and kiss me till my lips fall off. Woo! Hoorah! The Marine Corps gave me a life throughout. Quality, character, competency. Gave me honor, courage, and commitment. When I followed it, I was a different person. When I didn't, I was in trouble. Say it with me: honor.
Honor.
Courage.
Courage.
Commitment.
Commitment.
Thank you. Oh wow, that's amazing.
So please be seated. Thank you all very much. So Mr. Downer, we wanted to, you know, marking the 250th birthday, to thank you for coming out here. Thank you for your dedication to the future generations of Marines. I really appreciate it. I'm gonna show this to everybody. All right. So hey, we made this plaque, and I'm gonna read it really quick just so everybody. Everybody sees the words, I'll explain what's on it, right? So, presented to Mr. Phil Downer, in recognition of your inspiring words, leadership, and continued devotion to our Corps. Your presence at COB 13's 250th Marine Corps Ball reminds us that though the battlefields may change, the heart of a Marine remains the same. It's forged in honor, tempered by courage, and bound by fidelity. As we celebrate 2.5 centuries of proud service, your message carries forward to the spirit of every Marine who ever bore the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor. From Tun Tavern